In this episode of Cubs Out Loud Drag Race, David and Gary talk about the 12th episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 7. In tonight's episode, the guys listen in as the queens work it in a music video challenge for RuPaul's next song, Bored Naked, available on iTunes, wink. Sparks fly in this emotionally charged episode from the start to the finish. The competition is on as the final four give it their all to make it into the top three. Who rises to the occasion and who ends up losing their wig? All will be revealed as COL Drag Race Episode 12 starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Well, hello there. It is May 19th, 2015, and welcome to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, episode number 12. This is Gary, and with me, as always, is my fabulous co-host.
Hello, everybody. It's Damon. How are you bitches doing? Ooh. Speaking of bitches. Speaking of bitches.
Well, before we get to that, we got a little feedback.
Yes, we did.
Over on Google Plus, Anthony Mendoza left us a comment.
Well, Anthony.
And David, why don't you go ahead and read what he wrote for us?
Oh, okay, I'll read it. Sure. Anthony Mendoza says, "I've been watching your guys' recap of the episode since episode one, and yours is my favorite by far. And can I just say that Gary gets more and more adorable every time he's on camera? I just want to take him home and do horrible, naughty things to him. Love you guys."
Oh, aww. Stop.
Oh, seriously. That bitch didn't already have a swelled head, I swear to God.
Okay, yeah, so. Yeah.
No, seriously. Thank you, Anthony. I've honestly been really enjoying this and doing it every week with my gal pal Gary here. And we're glad that there are people out there listening and enjoying the show and watching us and listening. Now, do you agree with us? That's a good question.
Do I
agree? No. Does Anthony often agree with us?
Oh, yeah, okay. Hmm. Interesting. I thought you meant, do I agree that I think I'm adorable?
It would be, why wouldn't you?
All right, so we are on episode 12. We are now one episode away from the end of the season. In other words, it's down to finale.
Uh-huh.
So
finally the finale.
Yeah, finally the finale. Started March 1st, now ending June 1st. So episode 12, we go from 4 to 3. Like last week, I just want to make a note that I decided yet again to watch the show episode and Untucked in the real time way that they were filmed. I paused before when they went backstage, then watched Untucked, then went back.
Yeah.
I like that. I want to continue that next season if they continue on that.
Yeah. I like that idea, especially if they keep Untucked on YouTube. I like that idea because you're not really quote unquote spoiled as you watch Untucked. You know, you already know how it ends, but you're now prepared for, you're not prepared for, you know, this the elimination, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to turn you off for a second. There we go. So yeah. Alrighty. So shall we get into it?
Oh, this is going to be a hell of an episode, we think. All right. First impressions. All I wrote was talk about emotions.
Mm-hmm.
As John and John said in their recap last lap thing, RuPaul went all Oprah Winfrey on them. and Barbara Walters style, like got into some deeper stuff twice, in the course of the episode, they had the lunch with RuPaul. And then they had questions on the runway. And there were two different times that she basically made them open up. She didn't make them open up. It's not the right words. Yeah. She had a conversation in which I think they felt safe to discuss some things of their lives and their past. So I cried the most out of every episode I've ever watched.
Aww.
Because I think I was getting pretty authentic stuff. Now, is it possible that some of them could have been acting purely, you know, to pull heartstrings, to pull one over and stuff? Absolutely. That could have been the case. But I don't think anyone's that foolish to try that, because they would be laughed out of, you know, performing if that was figured out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my first impression overall, it was just a very emotional episode. Not only for them, but also for me, the ups and downs of how they did and who went home and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. What about you, Dylan? I will say, definitely emotions were running high, but I'm all about it. Let's get it on. Like, let's get it on. They were, I think from the beginning of this episode to right near the end, there was this, the fight was there. The fight was on. Everyone knew, like, you were going for it. And there were all these there were some that were pretty damn, like, straight to the jugular kind of cuts kind of going there, because they were just, but the purpose of it was that we know where we are. We know this is the final four. We know what the challenge is. This is it. Like, this is your final. This is your final chance to impress her. Well, maybe. I don't know what I think there will be another episode, but there's the, like, they were from the beginning till the end. They were fighting for it. They were going for it. All of them, in their own way, were going for it.
Yeah, as Michelle Visage said to them in the workroom, there's no half step in it. Like,
yeah.
This is your final opportunity to do something. And as Candace Kane said, this thing with the music video is your last thing between you and $100,000.
Yeah.
Which is mostly accurate. I slightly disagree, but I think it's a statement that needs to be said so they take it seriously.
Yeah. This is the, I don't want to say penultimate challenge. I think this is the like the final hurdle. Like, you know, in a race with hurdles, you always, there's a hurdle and then there's a hurdle and then there's the race to the end. So this was the final hurdle. And now we have just the race to the end. I don't think there's any quote unquote hurdles left, but you just have to still make it to the end.
Yeah, I agree that this is a critical key time to make the proper impression.
Mm-hmm.
Because yet again, it's 2 weeks till the finale and Rue said, I want to hear from you. Which team are you voting for? What we don't know is truthfully how much that matters to RuPaul in the decision making process in the very end. So it appears that the finale path is the same as it has been the past couple of years. We have three finalists. They will get to the end. They will all convene. I think it's in New York City on June 1st for the viewing of the finale that is being recorded right now, actually, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
In LA tonight. Well, probably right now because we're on the East Coast.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably happening right now.
Yeah, like literally right now they are filming the finale with the three alternate endings, like the three crownings. Each of them get crowned, and then one of those that's recorded and filmed will be shown on television, and that's the moment they find out they win. Which actually, I really like that option because it really leaves a ton of suspense and no one knows what the hell's going on except for maybe Logo TV and Wow Presents and Rue. Anything else on your first impressions?
No, that's good.
All right. Good. Yeah, thoughts on this episode. So final four focus is what I said. That's all there is. There's only four of you left. So there's, like we said last week when there was five, it's like there's no middle of the pack. There's no hiding. There's no nothing. Like, it's all out there. Yeah. And what I said was, in addition to that, flaws and all.
Amen.
There was a lot of flaws being revealed this episode. And it was driving me crazy. And Kennedy Davenport, I think, has the best quote of the entire season with this thing, with this audio clip that I'm going to play, because I thought she hit it so on the head.
Yeah. So the challenge, as we know, was the video, music video for Born Naked, RuPaul's song. They had a dance choreographed segment, and then they had an acting segment where they ultimately played these three roles opposite Rue. But the comment comes from the dance portion, and I love it. So
what happens is, and the way we see the episode, Candace takes the four of them in the workroom, has them learn the choreography, go through the routine. Then they all have lunch with Rue. Then you come back and they get ready and they go shoot the music video with Candace Kane being there to direct, who also choreographed it. And they're again screen. And so this is what I mean by, like, the flaws are showing up. Like, there are some things that happen. Three out of four of them have issues. Yeah. And this is what I meant by flaws and all. Like, you know, it's and I was like, and every single time something went wrong or happened, I was like, really, girl? Because
really,
all three of them could have prevented, in my opinion, what happened. So,
yes,
this is Kennedy reacting to one of the other queens and her issue.
You want to be America's Next Drag Superstar, and your wig is sliding back. But you want to be America's Next Drag Superstar. Okay.
I love that, because it's just okay, yeah.
There's a reason they put that into the show, that they kept that and put it in.
It's one of those things that it complements it so perfectly in the cuttiest way possible. Just like, yes, you, yeah, like, no. Like, you know where you are, bitch. Like, top four, honey. Like, let's step it up.
A big sub-theme of this entire episode was bring it. Like, bring your A game, bring everything you got, bring your best. And that wasn't necessarily happening. And then when we get to Untucked, there was a whole big old, like, very heated discussion about that exact thing. Yeah, so it, you know, so we've got this final four focus, flaws and all. Kennedy's comment just killed me to no end, because I was like, right on, girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have thrown a Andrew Jackson at her just for saying it. I would have been like,
go ahead.
bitch, take a 20, because you clocked in the truth on that. Like, show up to the music video and your wig's falling off. So. The last thing I want to say about the thoughts on this episode is, careful how you answer that loaded question. So they're all standing on the runway. They've done their final runway looks, and they are getting their final judges' critiques. RuPaul does two very specific things. RuPaul asks them all to answer a question based on a part of their past. RuPaul also ask them the loaded question, which is, why should you win and not your competitors?
And such a loaded question.
And it turns into this nearly vitriolic fight in Untucked about how two of them answer and two of them answer differently.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in Untucked. But yes. I wrote that down immediately. Careful how you answer that loaded question, because it's a question and it's open to interpretation, and all four of them had a specific view of it. Half were kind of in one camp, half were in another camp. We have no idea how it really should have been done. I think a lot of people who watch the show and a lot of people that are fans are going to fall to the one camp or the other. And I'm much more in the middle of, as one of the competitors said, I want to say it, as one of the competitors said, in the moment, I answered it honestly as to how I felt right then and there.
Yeah.
And so that's part of it though, you know? So what about you, Damon? What are your thoughts on that?
So yeah, I will own, as you said earlier, I'll get back to come here. You, there you are. Like there is a lot of emotions going on in this episode, a lot of stuff, a lot of good emotions. I will say, like, purging, as it were. There was a lunch with Rue where she has that whole, Barbara Walters kind of thing going on where she's trying to get them to open up, and they all did. You learn a lot about them through that one little talk with Rue, which is, we never know how long it is because they probably edited it to death. But I love that they showed a few things, because I always loved the lunch with Rue, but I always hate the lunch with Rue. I love the lunch with Rue because it allows the girls to be emotionally vulnerable, and allows us to hear a little bit more about their backstory, their history, and why they're doing what they're doing, and et cetera, et cetera. The reason I hate it is because I hate that it sometimes feels forced. Like, Rue is trying to direct this conversation to this emotional point so that she can get the tears for the you know, producer, so they can cry and all that stuff. I think that's
the producers and the directors that are kind of pushing that.
Yeah. And that's sort of where I'm at. Cause
yeah, this week, Damon, or this week, this year, this season, whatever, this time around, once or twice I caught Rue kind of looking away from the contestant. And I all I kept thinking is, what is she looking at? And I was like, the only thing that made sense to me was that she was looking like to state, like, to somebody in the staff or whatever. And the only thing I could imagine was that they were holding up like cue cards. Do you know what I mean? Like, ask about this or go for this, or you know what I mean, or whatever. And Rue, granted, wears glasses, but Rue might have contacts in for all we know. I don't know. Like, you know, it did seem to me, I agree with you, that there was definitely a formulaic kind of like style to the conversation.
And that's the only reason I don't like it so much. But then also with that, you know, we had the, I loved the whole, here's a picture of you as a child. What would you tell yourself? You know, what would you now tell yourself then? The conversations with, like, conversations with your younger self. I love those. Because we all kind of have that moment where we feel that way, where we would love to have talked to our younger selves and kind of given us something more to, you know, hold on to. The person who's really got me was Pearls. Her like very, very emotional, very tear-jerky kind of, you know, thing where we've known for a while. Like, you and I have known through the podcast that Rue does with Michelle, and through some of the other stuff that Pearl has mentioned herself, that she has had a very rocky childhood. And it really, really showed in this episode. And so I'm owning, I'm very proud of her for allowing herself to open up to that extreme that she did. Given her laid back attitude, it was very raw.
She Yeah, I mean, I think this is the closest we got to knowing what happened to her.
Yeah.
I'm purely speculating because it's never actually said, but Rue hones in during the lunch and says, when I first met you, I had a feeling that there was, you know, a traumatic background for you and this and that. And Rue has said in her podcast, like, she's empathic. She's very emotional. She, you know, gets, you know, other people's emotions and then feels them and, like, you know, kind of, like, you know, gets wrapped up in them and has to be careful about that. And, you know, was always an emotional child growing up and a teenager and stuff. So she knows that about herself. And that's why I think she's taken to Pearl so much this season, is she sees a lot of her younger self in Pearl in some very interesting ways. That's just a theory of mine. And I'm not saying that that's an automatic, like, you know, Pearl's going to win thing. I just think it's, he sees that there's some things that he can, that resonate with him or, but at the same token, I honestly think, and this is the part I meant when I said I was speculating, I think that Pearl's life situation, which I think they carefully edited and or Pearl was very strategically answering to not actually say, my guess is that it was abusive.
Mm.
That she grew up in an abusive home. I mean, she flat out said physical, psychological, mental, you know, everything. And I was like, whoa. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it was just, it's one of those things. And, you know, I'm also proud, like you said, in Pearl's lunch confessional, you know, with Rue, that she said, the one thing I was not prepared for was to retreat into myself. I didn't expect during this competition to fall backwards, so to speak. Like, and I was proud that she said that because it gave some insight. I was like, oh, all right. Like you didn't quite, you knew what was happening, but you didn't quite realize what was happening. And, you know, and it could very well simply have been you were in a competition with 13 other people you didn't know. And being in a space with people you don't know can really turn you inwards. You know, and you can, and the thing about drag is extrovertive. So a lot of people who perform in the drag community are not necessarily extroverts in their normal day-to-day life. They may swing between being an extrovert and an introvert in their normal day-to-day life, but drag is usually an extrovert activity. So in my philosophy, there's a balance. So there's times of quiet and solace and being within, and that's usually when you're not out in the public limelight, whether you're in drag or out of drag at a bar or whatever it is. So I think that's one of the things that's probably challenging about this environment is, like, if you, I don't know how else to say it, if you really truly don't know yourself and you don't know your strengths and weaknesses, your pros and cons, your flaws, you know what I mean, and your winning pieces, then I could see where you could really kind of, like, swing around wildly and spin like a top because you're not really sure which way is up or whatever. So what else did you think about the show?
So the other thing, the main thing, one of the things that sort of was one of the prevalent themes in this episode were the Bitter Oak Queen Brigade of Ginger and Kennedy versus the, I'm going to call them the artsy girls, Violet and Pearl. Because there's this very, not quite rivalry. I don't want to say rivalry because they were definitely a little heated against each other. Oh, definitely heated, especially in Untucked. But there was a sense of, like, more than competition, there was this very much this sense of, I need to prove that my drag is correct and your drag is not. Mm-hmm. Something along those lines. And I've got that feeling, especially in this episode. Like, there was like everything needed to be sort of, I'm right, I need to win so I can prove that I'm right, kind of thing. And I felt weird about that. I got why it happens. And granted, yes, there is a age difference, but I think it's more than age. I think it's some of these girls that are choosing the pageant girls versus the non-pageant girls who aren't really comedy queens. And what, like in last season when it was Pageant Girl versus Comedy Queens, or a couple of seasons before that with Jinx and Roxy, whereas Pageant Girl versus Comedy Queen, it became this very much this professionalism, quote unquote, on point versus this free flowing, artsy, best friends race kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you that that came up and that really kind of was a thing this episode, sort of in an unexpected way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I say sort of, and I'm thinking the more I take a moment to process, I'm like, this has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Like what happens that we're going to talk about in the next segment about what happens in Untucked was almost like, you know, an unwatched pot that was boiling and it kind of erupted. Yeah. And in a way I'm not surprised. You know, plus it makes good TV or that's internet in this true. Case. Yeah. And I don't know. It was very interesting to me. So the bitter old queens versus the artistic girls, I'm a little concerned about that only because without revealing what happens yet, there's only four contestants. Three go on to the end. No matter what, both factions, quote unquote, are going to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I'm concerned about is the bitter old queen brigade self-named, like self-titled. And yeah. I don't know if Rue takes the time to go back and watch the entire season and watch all the Untucked and watch the performances that are put on YouTube from when they finish recording the season until it comes to the crowning. Do you know what I mean? Like,
if I
was Rue, I would. Like, this, as was discussed during the episode, this is a legacy job title issue.
Yeah.
I'm in the camp that Kennedy and Ginger were trying to tell Violet and Pearl. This is not just a check, you know, and a crown. This is literally a job for a year.
Yeah.
And you are the goodwill ambassador of this brand representing this name and, you know, six previous seasons of this show, one season of All Stars. Through, is it three or four seasons of Drag U? I mean, like, the, you know,
yeah.
And everything that, you know, Rue has worked so hard to accomplish. So
you're representing this brand.
Yeah. And so because of that, I'm concerned that everything is up for grabs. And by that, I mean, everything that's ever put out there, that's posted, you put on social media, if it's on your Facebook wall, if it's, you know, in your YouTube, I mean, any of that kind of stuff, I could easily see that becomes a part of the piece of the puzzle as to who gets the title. I don't know if Rue does that. It's Rue's choice. I mean, you know,
it's
his name on the on the show, so you know, ultimately it's up to him. But I think if it was me, I would take all of that into account. I wouldn't tell anybody. And I would avoid revealing that. It's not so much a secret, it's, to me, it's a kind of a duh. It's like, if your name's on the line, do you know what I mean? Like, you want to make sure that it's going to be the best thing. So, and to go back to what you said, the conversations with your younger self thing is one of the other points that really got me. All four of them opened up and talked about how they would tell their younger self in the picture that Rue holds up. She basically, you know, says, this is you at age whatever. What would you, knowing what you know now, what would you tell them? And all four of them opened up. Now, the only thing I don't like about this is by the time you got to Pearl, three other people have already answered it. According to the edit, the way it went, it kept going left to right from judges panel.
Yeah.
Looking at the contestants, it started with Kennedy, then it went to Violet, then it went to Ginger, then it went to Pearl. And then it started over again. Like, they critiqued that way. they did this question thing that way. They did the other question thing that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just kind of kept running that way. So the thing I didn't like about that is I don't like ever, and I don't like it locally. Like, if I go to any contest or any pageant and all the contestants are giving the exact same question, I tune out and I get pissy, because you're giving an opportunity of time for someone else to craft a better answer.
Yeah.
You just are. Now, if you do the Q&A in private, then that's different. Do you know what I mean? Where each contestant has to answer it, you know. So like we were at you and I went to Louisville, Kentucky for North American Bear Weekend. And there was Lexington. There was all those contestants, and they had, you know, specific times they did Q&A and all that kind of stuff. But then when they were on stage and they got asked up, everybody got asked different questions. People didn't get the same question over and over again. So they could stand in the back of the ballroom and hear it. And then by the time you got to the 17th one, they perfected the answer. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing about this show I was kind of disappointed in.
Yeah. It's the one bad thing about, a lot of things like drag pageants and whatnot, where you ultimately bring everybody on stage and you ask them a question. They do craft an answer. Now, granted, I agree with you. I think they could have done it. I don't know how they could have done it where it would have been plausible for TV. Other than the, you know, obviously individual, bring them out individually. If they had done it where they asked them the question when they brought them out, like their runway,
correct?
You know, they brought them out, had them parade, then asked that question, who you think, you know, why do you think you're doing? But I think they do it with everyone there for the sake of the drama that could potentially unfold between the girls as they're talking to each other, because they want everyone to know what the other girls have said. It's a total TV tactic.
I agree with it when it comes to the other question, but the childhood question.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but in both cases, it's still the same issue. And it's just a personal issue for me. I just don't care for the fact that the last person gets the most time opportunity to come up with the correct answer. Because by the time you get to the third person and it's the same question, why the hell would you not have the same question as the last person? Do you know what I mean? Like, it would be like if the question alternated and there was only two questions, do you know what I mean? Like, you're not really sure which one you're going to get. That's a little different. But by the time you get to the third person, by the time you get to Ginger has the exact same question that Violet and Kennedy already had. Then if I was Pearl, I would, you know, come up with something original. Now, to be fair, when Pearl answered the question about the younger self, she got all choked up, and I could tell she had not thought ahead in her mind to rehearse that while the others were talking. Do you know what I mean? Like to think rapidly on her feet to come up with, you know, something to say in that case. So I thought that was very authentic, but I think that's just a person issue. That's distinctly how Pearl handled it.
It's a very difficult situation.
Yeah.
I will say that. So, alrighty.
Now, before we move on to Untucked, I want to talk about what happened on stage that is the thing we're going to talk about. What happens during Untucked? the question I was dancing around was the loaded question that Rue asks, which is, why do you think you should win and not your competitors?
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy answers first. Then Violet, then Ginger, then Pearl. Kennedy and Ginger point out flaws or negatives about Violet and Pearl.
Yeah.
And I could tell on that watching that, so that whole thing on, going on stage, that was not going over well.
Yeah, and so, you're never wrong.
And then we get to Untucked, and that's what causes this whole.
Yeah, because girls, they. I don't want to. Okay. Let's get to Untucked, because what I'm about to say might
be said again.
I'm just like.
Let me play the music clip intro.
Uptown, downtown, turn the beat around town, hip hopping, beep bopping. New York, New York, New York City beat.
All right, so for Untucked, from the beginning, those are the only three words I originally wrote in my notes. From the beginning, they walk into the Untucked backstage area, and it is awkward.
Oh,
instantly, yeah. I can tell that Ginger knows Violet and Pearl are pissed. Because they're not saying anything. And their body language is kind of giving off that they're not, like, having it.
Happy. Nope. They ain't having it.
If they had their choices, they wouldn't have gone backstage, I think. Like, I think – or they would have gone someplace else. I definitely got the vibe that Violet and Pearl were like, fuck, we have to do this thing. Like, we have to go back and we have to get along, quote-unquote, talk to each other, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That being said, in capital letters, I wrote, it's a competition. And that was my reaction to the very heated debate and exchange that goes on. Because to kind of sift it out, there was a main issue. Violet and Pearl were pissed at Kennedy and Ginger for their pageant answers, quote unquote. And by that I mean Kennedy and Ginger both answered the question the way they thought it was meant to be asked. Rue said, why should you be crowned the winner compared to your competitors?
Yep.
So they literally compared themselves to the others.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, both Kennedy and Ginger talked negatively about their competition.
Well,
I know.
Wait a minute.
Ginger, however, did not really talk negatively at all about Kennedy. And that was another huge sticking point. It was a big thorn in the side because basically Pearl and Violet were like, fuck you. You two have, you know, known each other for years, been friends for years. You're both pageant queens. Record scratch.
Yeah.
That's my next comment. Ginger's a pageant girl, question mark? It took 12 fucking episodes. Somehow I missed this if it was revealed earlier because, hello, I've been watching. Now it gets revealed that, yes, Ginger Minj actually did the pageant circuit.
Huh.
And competed against Kennedy. And they helped each other out at pageants.
Yeah.
All that shit comes out. And I'm like, wait.
Hold up. Hold on. Wait a minute. Time out. What? I will own that was one of the few things one of the things that surprised me about the Untucked that it came out. I was like, not saying that Ginger doesn't have that glamour that you usually expect from a pageant girl. And I've felt inklings of it before, just based on how well she presents herself. There are times where she is very poised, very much like a pageant girl, very poised. But at the same time, she has that sticky comedy queen side to her too. So maybe she's just kind of fallen in the middle and, who knows how well she's done. This was heated is the word I think I actually wrote down. I wrote down Pearl is heated. Pearl is heated in all caps, like heated. And
there is a big, I don't know how else to say it, but it's a big fucking argument. It gets a little ugly, and I don't mean that like in a bad way. It ugly as in uncomfortable, like as in Pearl and Violet are shocked and stunned the way they behave. I don't think those are exact words, but pretty close to like how they feel about what Kennedy and Ginger did. And then it leads to this very intriguing conversation, and that's why I wrote in all caps, it's a competition. Because Ginger and Kennedy are like, we've been here, done this a gazillion times. pageant competition is like drag boot camp. It teaches you so much to be ready for this thing. And this show is the pageant of them all. And I'm right there with him. Like, I, you know, what little I know of the pageant world, I was right there with Kennedy and Ginger the whole time. And I guess that's kind of why, if I had to pick a camp, which I don't want to, and I haven't, but I guess if I had to fall to one side or the other, I would be in the bitter old, you know, Lady Brigade, because because I recognize it's not so much old school drag, but it's about, you know, how you carry yourself, how you take care of things. Like, but it's also part of it, I think, as Ginger and Kennedy discuss, and Ginger flat out says, I do not see in either of you, or specifically Violet, the maturity of how to handle the world.
Yeah.
Which comes back in her comment to Rue on stage. She says, Violet has a very short temper. And that, I think, is problematic when dealing with the world.
Yeah.
And they edit in the response from Michelle Visage, presumably at that moment, not sure, where Michelle kind of takes that in. And Michelle's the most likely one to agree and understand what Ginger's getting at, because Michelle's the one out there representing the brand with the battle of the tour season and all the rest of that kind of stuff.
So she
sees these queens all the time out there performing it, working it, you know, trying to make coin and get their name out there and stuff. So I think that she definitely got what Ginger was trying to get at. It was very, very interesting. I have one more comment on talk, but I want to let you talk, because mine is about something comes a little later, so to speak.
So that was explosive. I'm just going to put – that's what I wrote down, because that was explosive. There were two moments for me that I remember specifically that were like where they were going at it. It was – they were all four on the couch and they were kind of, you know, talking back and forth. And then they kind of, there was something that they stopped. Ginger kind of is trying to ask Pearl to respond, and Pearl's not. And Pearl literally kind of, she finally says something, and I wish I had wrote it down, but she was kind of like, well, the thing that Pearl kind of kept saying was they threw him under the bus, which is technically true, but not really, because, like you said, it's a competition. And I will own that I understand and agree with Ginger and Kennedy in regards to their answers, that they answered, I don't want to say very patternly, like they answered very honestly the question that was asked them, which was compare yourselves to the other girls and why you think you should win. And they did that. That's what they did. That's how they answered the question. They answered it that way. However, I will say that Ginger and Pearl need to understand that there is a reason behind the way they answered to do. And it's not just pageant. They were answering the question because that is how they needed to answer the question. Like, plain and simple. Like, I need to show that I am better than the rest of you by giving this answer. I hated Ginger's answer. I got it, but I hated it because she did a very pageant girl thing where she said, if me and Kennedy could you know, share the crown, I would do that. I hate that shit. You don't want to share the crown with nobody, bitch. You don't want to share that crown. I don't care what you're trying to say. I get what you're trying to say, but no. You know you are not going to share that crown with anybody else. You're not. Not. So that was sort of my biggest issue with that. It's like, no, no, no. If you're going to, this is your chance to show Rue why you deserve to win and why the other girls, the other three girls, don't. That was the answer. That was the question. And you can say, I like Ginger, or you can say, I like Kennedy, and that's fine. But you needed to show why you needed to be, why you are in the top and better than the rest of them. So there's that. I hated that answer. Really, really hated it. And then the other thing, which was something that I wanted to bring up because Ginger said it specifically, every queen needs to do a pageant. Every girl should do a pageant. No. If you, I will again own Ginger was right when Violet was like, I don't like competitions. Then why the fuck are you here?
Okay.
Yes.
I need to pause you for a second. I need to pause you for a second on that alone. I am so proud of Ginger that she pounced at that moment when Violet says, I hate competitions. And Ginger's like, wait, hold up. Then why the fuck you here? Like,
yeah.
Like, why are you here trying to snatch a check for $100,000? Like, bye, Felicia. Yes. Like, this is a competition. You don't like the fact that it's a competition? Don't enter. That was huge for me, and that kind of it was also difficult because I think I understand what Violet's trying to say. I don't like playing the game, but I am playing the game because I want to be the best and I want to win.
Yeah.
And people may not like that, and they may think that's kind of pageanty, but I can understand that. Like, I'm not a competitor, you know? Like, I'm not a person that's that really, truly that competitive. You know, I want everyone to win. I want everyone to get along. I'm very, like, you know, hippy-dippy that way. But the reality is, if it's a game, there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. So in the end, I want my fat ass to win. Fuck you. So
yeah, exactly. Like you don't put yourself in a competition. You don't put yourself through the trials and tribulations of any kind of competition to lose.
That's true.
Don't. I mean, you don't. Like, I mean, yeah, you might want to do that. You may want to have the experience. Blah 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 blah. Whatever. But you are hoping, even a small bit of you is hoping that you wind up the winner. It's just the way nature. It's just a part of nature. It's a fact. Fact of life.
Right. So back to your, if you don't mind, back to your comment about Ginger says that every drag queen needs to do a pageant. You disagree with this?
I disagree.
Okay.
Because I understand and respect Violet and Pearl's drag, their artistic drag, as it were. And at the same time, however, I don't feel that in the classic traditional pageant world would be as successful. I've done a pageant. I hated it. I hated being judged. I wasn't ready, clearly wasn't ready. But I had no one to really tell me what to do or to guide me, as it were. So when I did it with my own thought process on how to do it and what I thought would work, and it clearly didn't. So that's sort of where I'm at. Now, would I do one again? Probably not. I've done camp title pageants, you know, with the court here in Cincinnati. I've done those kind of things, but I've never done anything of a bigger caliber than that. I don't think every queen needs to do a pageant. I think if you want to learn and hone your craft, you might want to do a pageant to get that judge's critique. If you wish to be successful and win and all that stuff, then yeah, you might want to do another pageant because you want to, you know, get that, you know, keep going and keep that level. But if you like what you do and you do it for you, like Violet was saying, if you do it for you, then that's what you need to do. Do you. Be you. Have fun with it. Enjoy it. Because if you start taking it too seriously, you're going to lose why you do it in the first place. And that's sort of my usual issue with a lot of things that I do in life. Like if I started hating doing this show, for example, if I felt it was a chore, if I felt that it was work, I wouldn't do it. I would stop doing it because I like to do things that I enjoy doing. And at the end of the day, because that's what I want to do when I spend with my free time. Work is work. And yes, I enjoy my job, blah, 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 blah. But when I have my free time, I want to do things that I like doing and enjoying doing. I don't sit here and do this because I have to. I do this because I want to. And that's the way I feel sometimes about drag. If you want to do it and you want to put yourself out there and you really enjoy doing what you're doing and you love putting on makeup or you love the wigs or you love the clothes or you love this and that, then that's what you do it for. Now, would I ever want to be on RuPaul's Drag Race? Hell to the no. but I owe that. I've had friends ask me, like, you should be on. I'm like, no, I'm not ready for that kind of judgment and that kind of competition. And I wouldn't want to do it that way because I feel that would make me lose my interest. I would hate it so much that I would throw it all away, be like, up, done, all the wigs go in the garbage, out. But yeah, anyway, so that's my thing. I go ahead.
Well, no, this is my take on what you picked out, that comment from Ginger about every drag queen needs to do a pageant. I initially was going to be a 180 complete opposite disagreement with you. But as you were talking, I thought about it. And so here's what I think. If you want to be on a reality show competition,
mm-hmm.
then I agree with Ginger. If you want to be the best ever at anything that you do in your life, you have to get criticized. You have to be judged. You have to get the feedback. You cannot exist in a vacuum of no feedback because you will never know what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And feedback comes in all sorts of different forms. You go on stage, you get tips. You go on stage, you don't get tips. You know what I mean? Like that's a feedback loop.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go out there and you ain't getting no coin, and girl, you might want to rethink whatever the hell it is you're doing. And stop saying, well, fuck them because they don't understand my drag. No, that's not it. Well, that may be it, but maybe you're in the wrong audience, or maybe, you know, you should change it to a different level of something. I don't know. I mean, it's
to wear a wig that doesn't fall off.
Yeah, as Candace says, what's with these girls and, you know, all their shit falling apart? Which we'll get to that later. When Ginger says that maybe every drag queen should do a pageant, I was like, I can see where Ginger's going with that. Her point is, you two, meaning Pearl and Violet, are struggling with what just happened on stage because you have never been in a contest and never been critiqued to this level ever in your performing career. Kennedy and I have. Many, 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 many times. So this is old hat. Ain't nothing but water off a duck's back. What the hell is your problem? Like, and that's really, I think, what the root of that fight was about, that verbal disagreement was those that have been through the gauntlet of fire many times and those that had never been through it. And I think what bothered Kennedy so much that she blew up at Ginger – now, I'm a lot like Ginger. I want everyone to get along. I want everyone to be happy. I never say anything intentionally to hurt a person. At least I try not to. I used to do that when I was younger, and I've tried really hard as I've matured and gotten older to not be such a jerk, you know, and have such ill will towards people. So if I say things, I want them to use it as a learning moment in some fashion, and hopefully I craft it and I communicate it in the right way as opposed to just, you know, being an asshole. So – you know, when Ginger tries to, you know, help make sure that Pearl understands her or whatever, and then Kennedy goes the fuck off and just explodes on Ginger and is like, oh, hell no. No, 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 no. You do not apologize for your opinion and for her not fucking understanding you. Like, I mean, just kind of goes right at Ginger. And I was like, whoa, like,
yeah.
But I got where Kennedy was coming from. Like, Kennedy was being true to what RuPaul says, like, pay them bitches no mind unless they're paying your bills. Like, you know what I mean? And that's so I was really torn because I got Ginger was like, listen, I'm here to win, but I also am not here to make enemies. And then on the flip side of it, you know, Kennedy's like, yeah, but you're like, this is bullshit. Like you're taking this too far. So this is going back to my last comment on Untucked that I wrote on the document. It was short-sightedness. I realized what was happening. Ginger was trying so hard. She was focusing on one detail that she was completely missing. There's a moment and a time where when you learn to let go and just walk away. Like you, and I know this from being a corporate trainer, a facilitator, instructor, whatever you want to call it. You work with somebody, and then there comes a point where you have to recognize the definition of insanity, which I prefer, is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. If you keep trying to do this and you're not getting through, then you better try a different tactic or not. And I think that's where I got concerned for Ginger. I thought she was being short-sighted because she wasn't understanding Pearl and Violet's perspective. Their perspective was, we have never done anything to you to this level, and you just basically gut punched and like nut kicked the two of us on stage in front of the judges. Yeah. And Ginger was like, no, we didn't. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, you did. You're just not understanding their side. You're not getting that. Yes, they are pissed, offended, and upset at what you did because they never saw it coming. You and Kennedy, on the other hand, are like, not my problem. I steamrolled your ass.
Yeah.
Like, this is what happens every single time you go out for a pageant or a competition, bitch. Get with the program.
Yeah.
Like, and that was really the root of the fight was two queens were like, this is the penultimate competition. We were on our game. We knew exactly what we were doing the entire time. Not our fault. You didn't prepare or did not know or did not expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, the other two were like, how dare you make this like everything else you've ever done.
Yeah.
And have a disregard for us. And I think that's, and I don't think there's an easy, clean way out of this whole thing that happened in Untucked, but it was, no. I mean, it was intense. It was pretty crazy.
This is one of the few times in Untucked where Untucked was like a lot of the seasons in the past, it was very much a like drama filled moment. And like you said, it was very much a unwatched pot that just started boiling that has probably been sitting there and boiling under the surface. Not saying that the girls in these past episodes have kind of been all this happy-go-lucky, let's all be friends bullshit. No, they were real. It was a lot more realer up in the episodes. And this was still falling in that same line. But it did allow the probably the drama that has been behind the scenes. People haven't really, not saying they haven't been saying what they really feel, but it's been where they never felt they needed to. Like things have kind of been, everyone has kind of felt that things have already been hashed out because they've never really had a major blow up like this. But this is one of the few times that it really was a true intense drama filled moment because of something someone said or someone's said and the two varying perspectives on it.
Yeah.
So if I were to fall into a camp also, I would probably also fall into Ginger and Kennedy's only because of the fact that I understood why they said what they said when they said it at that moment, because once again, it is a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day,
yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what I'm going for the crown. This is not RuPaul's best friend's race, as they have said a couple of times.
Kennedy brought it up again in this episode. She said, to quote LaShonda Beyond, this is not RuPaul's best friend race. And I thought that was cute that she gave a shout out, like, you know, and credit to LaShonda for that all those years ago. But yeah, I mean, and that's what it comes down to. And I think that's the part that Violet and Pearl appeared to be struggling with is, well, I thought we all got along. I mean, Violet flat out says, I liked you guys until today.
Yeah.
And I think that hurt Ginger. I think Ginger never saw that coming. And that's why she was all kind of like, you know, acting the way she was during Untucked. And she was like, do you understand? Like, this is not personal. And they were like, no, it's personal. And she's like, no, you don't get it. This is not personal. This is a game. Like, you know, like, and that was just it. And that's what I mean by short-sightedness. And I wrote eek. I was like, oh, like, you're not, like, Ginger, you're too wrapped up in the moment. You're not taking a step back and looking at everything and recognizing that you guys just aren't getting each other.
Yep.
And sometimes you just need to learn to walk away and be like, well, then we're just not, we're going to have to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
Which I think is what Kennedy was saying is, listen, not your fault. She don't get your opinion. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. So Kennedy was very much of the, like, move on. Oh, what did she say? Oh, what's her name? Anyway, like the whole get a grip, get a, you know, something, get over it kind of thing.
Oh, Latrice Royale?
No, not that one. Not good guy, girl, get a grip. Or guy, girl, you know, whatever. Not that one. It's oh, I've forgotten her name. I'm really bad. Wow.
It's okay.
I'm hoping this is the tiredness coming, not the, like, getting older and faded memory shit.
All right, well, while you're thinking about anyway, that, why don't we move on to takeaways? Yeah. Okay, so I wrote this in all caps because I was floored. Rue decides, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Damon, for the first time in 7 seasons, we have a quad lip sync. All 4 competitors have to lip sync. I mean, and by this I mean all top 4 contestants have to lip sync live in front of the panel of judges before it's whittled down to 3.
I'm going to look and see, but I think they maybe did it last year, but let's find out.
Okay. If it happened last year, I don't remember it happening last year. And so I was really caught off guard and confused. And I think in Untucked, it was given away. There was a comment made about the 4 of them lip syncing. And I was like, wait, what? And then they went on stage. And I'm like, okay, so let me go back to the show. And sure enough, RuPaul says, before I make my decision, I need the 4 of you to lip sync for your life. And I'm like, what?
They did do it last year, all 4.
Really? Why don't I remember that?
As a result, sorry, I'm looking at, thank you, Wikipedia. As a result, for the first time, and so it was last year for the first time, in Drag Race history, RuPaul asked for a remaining 4 contestants to lip sync on Sissy That Walk at the same time.
Okay, yeah, who went home?
Darian Lake. So it has happened before.
Okay, so Darian was in the music video, but not cut out. That's new this year. So, all right, they made the music video, and it was Courtney, Bianca, and Adore, and Darian. Darian didn't last the lip sync, and then the other 3 went on. Okay. See, that lip sync must not have stood out to me because I don't remember it at all. I'll have to go back and look at it. But this one, to me, also, to be fair, didn't necessarily stand out. I didn't see anything revolutionary out of this lip sync. It was kind of boring in a way, I thought. So the quad lip sync, like, really kind of threw me off. I just wasn't prepared for it. And maybe it's because I'm tired and, you know, and I was like, you know, it's the end of the show. And I was just waiting for the reveal of who's going home.
Mm-hmm. It was okay. I liked that they did it again. Or they did it. And I felt you the same way. At first I didn't think it hadn't happened. That's why I'm kind of like, I wasn't sure, but I had a feeling it had happened before. So now I know it was last season. But it was very interesting how they did it. And I love Ginger because Ginger did something different. And granted, kind of lazy, but she did it. She went down onto the ground, which meant that she could pretty much always tell when someone was looking at her because they had to look down at her as opposed to looking at the girls, you know.
Right, because for part of it, she sat on the steps.
Yeah. I love that. That's a good tactic. You change the perspective of your judge just by having them look a little bit lower. And it could have been a tactic to have everyone look at all the rest of them. And I love the fact that Kennedy was still kind of dancing even in that gown.
She tried.
She tried. She didn't do a whole lot, but she did a little.
She did a little, but that dress was not made for lip syncing, in my opinion.
At least not
a fast lip sync. I mean, it is a pride dress, and I could see lots of queens duplicating that this coming month of June for their various pride events and stuff. But that's a float, you know,
stand and wave
in the parade, you know, kind of waving at the crowd. It's a lip sync on stage at your pride festival with a ballad. It is not the Whitney Houston 15-minute mega mix, you know, of dance outfit.
Yeah.
Unless that shit peels apart and comes in, you know, and turns into like a one piece or, you know, some shit. I don't know.
Yep. Or a cat suit.
Yeah.
Or something.
So, yeah. Why don't you go ahead with your part of takeaway and then I'll go back to my next thing.
Sure thing. An article. So my takeaway is, how far do you go for the win? This episode was one of those episodes that you got a lot of, like, the emotions were there, everything was there, but it also revealed how I hate the term throwing people under the bus, because I don't feel like she really did, but there was this issue of Violet. Nah, shit. Damn it. I am tired. Sorry. Ginger and Kennedy kind of playing the game to the point where it was ultimately to the detriment of their competitors. It wasn't necessarily a cutthroat maneuver. It wasn't necessarily a quote unquote cheater maneuver, but they kind of took the time to put themselves up a lot more by tearing their competition down. I respected Kennedy's answer more than I respected Ginger's answer. And I've mentioned this before, but Kennedy said, what she has said before, I don't think that they have the professionalism and the maturity to take this, you know, to win this, you know, to be your representative. I'm glad she owned that.
Yeah, I see, it's funny because I feel the opposite of you. I liked Ginger's answer better than Kennedy's, and that's because I agree when in Judges Critiques, the comment is made by Carson Kressley that Kennedy is the professional of the four. And then Michelle counters it and says, well, that speech wasn't very professional, or it wasn't like the professional answer I would have expected out of her. Hmm. And that was such a slam. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, and granted, Michelle is only one judge on the panel of three plus Rue, but still, like, it stung so bad. And so I kind of thought about it and I was like, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, at first I was okay with both of their answers, kind of. I did think that Ginger's was more ass kissing than anything. Yeah. And initially, but then, you know, in the end I was like, well, they both, you know, were pretty honest and pretty frank about it. But notably, unfortunately for Kennedy, she screwed up the use of a word twice.
Oh, yeah. Woo, I will own. That did kind of suck. I blocked that out.
So Kennedy in her answer said, I do not condone their behavior or something like that. Like, so the first time she said it, it kind of sounded like she said it correctly. Like she was using it grammatically the way it's meant to be, but it seemed just a little strange. And then the second time she did it, I was like, oh no, girl, the word you want is conduct. How they conduct themselves, not how they can condone themselves. It's not about permission or how you agree or disagree with how they behave. Like, I mean, it's how they actually behave. The word is conduct. Like, and I felt so bad for her because I was like, Kennedy, of all the times to fuck up, like this would be like going for Miss US of A and being on stage and screwing up your question. You know what I mean? In front of the judges, which is basically exactly what happened.
I forgot. Yeah. I swear I forgot about that because I blocked it out. I'm realizing I remember. I'm remembering as you say it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that felt terrible. Ooh, that was bad. Cause see, it was one of those. I was like going, oh, you ain't using that word right.
Yeah. So I agree with your concept of how far do you go for the win. The reality is, I think. You know, Bianca said it best last season when she was trying to be funny and they were saying, you know, that she was coming for them. And she was like, oh, no, honey, if I'm going to come for you, I'll come in the night and cut your wigs. Don't mess. Like there is a way to handle things. And if you think this is it, you are sadly mistaken. There are much better, craftier ways for me to fuck your shit up. And that's what I mean by this is, like, I don't think Kennedy and Ginger were out for blood. I don't think they were trying to murder Violet and Pearl and make them look like assholes. I think they were being honest. I think they were playing the game, and the game is called RuPaul's Drag Race. It's a reality show competition, period.
Yep. Point blank.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to my earlier thing I skipped on takeaway. Because I think before we get into hits and misses, we'll talk about who went home.
Oh, yeah. Woo.
My comment is never saw that coming.
Mm-mm.
So if you haven't seen the episode, if you haven't seen the episode yet and you're watching us live on YouTube, or this gets posted before you watch the episode 12 and you get to the end, like because the elimination comes after the quad live lip sync. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about who goes home. And the reason I say that, Damon, is because no one said anything on Facebook all day.
Yeah.
It was very creepy. I didn't see a single word written anywhere about people's reaction to who went home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't get over that because I was stunned. I was not prepared. And the way they eliminated, the way it happened, there was no confessional to camera. There was no go to the workroom and pack your stuff. Like, yeah, that was it. The person
I was blindsided
walks totally down blind. The stage and just leaves. And then Rue joins the three contestants and they walk to the back of the stage and they turn around and look at the camera like in wave kind of thing. And then that's it. And I mean, I was like,
what's going on?
Okay, so we are.
I was watching Untucked, and I saw. I keep the little timer up because it's just the way I am. And I was like, oh, we're at a minute and a half, and we're just getting to them going back on stage. We're missing the section. like, is that coming tomorrow? Or those are the things that popped in my head. Like, is that coming tomorrow? Like, are we missing something?
I'm really thrown off because we're missing the whole, like, you know, the confessional, the camera, the backstage. Yeah, the packing, the leaving in the van. We're missing all that stuff. So I'm hoping maybe it comes next week, but.
Yeah. Our art or something we're not expecting. Something's going to happen. Anyway.
Oh, well, you have a point.
Something new and different.
Right. If something's new and different and it's a miss, maybe there's more than a story that we don't know about. So,
Mm-hmm.
All right. So an hour and 15 into the show. We'll reveal now. So it pause, stop, close your browser, stop your podcast, MP3 player, whatever the hell you're listening to, if you don't want to hear what happened.
Yeah.
Although you can probably guess from the way we're talking. Rue makes the decision. Kennedy goes home.
Did not see that coming.
I still don't know how I feel about it, Damon. I'm really kind of like, but...
I've made my peace with it. I will own, I saw some of the flaws through the episode. If I went back and watched the episode again, I would have probably go, okay, well, this is why it happened.
And I agree with you, because I did do that. Like I while I was working today, I had it on twice. Second time around, well, okay, so the first time I watched it, paused it, went to Untucked, then came back, found out, you know, and then watched what was left of Untucked, which was like a minute. Or not even. And then turned around, and then like it played a second time. So the second time I paid closer attention to everything that Kennedy did. Kennedy was spot on in the music video.
Yeah.
Kennedy had no issues. Kennedy had no costume, hair, makeup issues, period.
Mm-hmm.
In the music video, Kennedy was the one to beat for the music video portion. However, the acting portion, Carson says she was kind of, you know, deadpan, one note. Matthew gives her a critique. She doesn't understand it. Pearl turns around and explains in her confessional that one of Kennedy's biggest downfalls is her short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
And she kind of says it like to make a joke of it, but I have a funny feeling she was being serious. That Kennedy has a problem remembering things that just happened or took place recently. And that was very disconcerting to me, because the way they edit it and they play it out, Matthew says, you know, make sure that you really go for the product placement. As in, when you mention the Born Naked album, you pick up the CD and you point at it, you know, like hello, like Rue does all the goddamn time. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And Rue's sitting right next to you at the table in the acting scene, you know? So yeah, it was really kind of weird. And so from that, I could see where the judges were like, and Rue was like, you're just not bringing it. Like you have said that you did the best you could, but the reality is your best is being bested by others. And that's unfortunate, because I had really high expectations and thought that she would go all the way to the top three. And I could tell that she too didn't see it coming. And I don't think Ginger did either. I think Ginger and Kennedy honestly thought they were going both to top three, and it was going to be Pearl or Violet that was going to go with them. And when that happened, I was blown away.
Yeah. Like I said, I've made my peace with it. I've made my peace with it now. And this is like a few hours after watching the episode. I've kind of made my peace with it, because I was sitting there thinking about it. Yes, probably the best. She wasn't the best at it. This episode kind of thing. Whereas her dancing and stuff was on point, and she always looks good. Her acting sucked. It wasn't suck. Suck is a bad word. She didn't do that well. She could have done better. She was outshined by two of the other girls in the acting. Definitely. Pearl was, but Violet, you know, was okay. Pearl was better. And Ginger, obviously, this is in her wheelhouse. So, given what happened last week and the critique that they gave her last week to now, I feel that that's probably where this sort of came from. Still didn't like it. Still think Rue got it wrong. I will say that now. I think Rue got it wrong, because I think she should have been in the top three. And I think Pearl should have gone home. That's my personal opinion. I think Pearl should have gone home. Only because of the fact that whereas Kennedy kind of signed, where because Kennedy signed in the music video and did not sign as well on the in the acting, Pearl kind of did this to me. She was very flat. She only jumped out of her shell or jumped out of it when Rue told her to remember how angry you were when I did that one thing to you. Yeah, bring that. That's the kind of anger you need to be in that point. And I was like, okay. You know, it's just like, yeah, that you know, now that you've got that reminder, you can bring it out. And she kind of did. But it wasn't until Rue said something, she got a little extra direction, that she was able to really do it.
Right.
So that's my personal opinion. But yeah. Anyway.
All right. You ready for snaps and eye rolls?
Sure thing.
All right. Gotta grab my drink.
There's always time for a cocktail.
Ooh, this cocktail's gonna get me tonight, I can tell. That's what happens when you mix your liquors.
Ooh. Same.
Yeah, well, I don't care. Whatever. All right, my snaps. I think there was two things.
Yeah.
The honesty on the runway. Because I wrote honesty on the runway because we are all damaged.
Yeah.
And the reason I said that is because I think it is rare that an individual comes into adulthood without facing some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of them revealed that they had struggles. They had some stuff they had to work through, issues and stuff. And that really, that was huge to me in this episode that, you know, it was very emotional. It was very raw in some ways, but it was necessary. It was needed. I think it can be highly cathartic for them to have this process of discussing and getting it out there. Pearl even says, the more I talk about it, it takes weight off my shoulders. So, the second thing that I had snaps for was the hidden gem from Matthew Anderson.
Uh-oh. What?
Did I miss something? I don't know if you... Okay, so when Matthew was directing the acting portion of the music video, he's talking to Violet about how she's pretty monotone. Like, she's pretty, like, flatline. And he says, I need you to put some, you know, some energy into it. Like, you know, some give it some peaks and valleys. And she says, like this or whatever, you know, and, like, kind of raises her voice. If you listen very closely, he says, yes, or something like that. And then he says, and it almost sounds like it was under his breath, isn't she clever?
Oh.
It was the most subtle, subliminal, hysterical dig I had ever heard.
Ooh.
Like, that got through somehow. And I just... If you go back to that scene where he's directing, oh my God.
I'm going to have to watch the episode online.
I laughed so hard. I replayed it like 5 times because I was like, did I really hear that? And I went back and I kept listening to it. And I swear it's Matthew. And he says, isn't she clever? And I was like, oh! Damn.
Woo.
Yeah. All right. Now eye rolls.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 3 of them, and they're all for the music video, and they're for 3 different people. Pearl's hair issue. She was wearing a blonde wig, kind of like the Blonde Ambition Tour from Madonna thing, with the big-ass ponytail in the back, and it was so heavy and weighted, she hadn't bobby pinned it anywhere, apparently. So her lace front was separating, and her boy hair was showing through. Candace, who's directing them, has to point it out.
Mm-hmm.
No. To quote Michelle Visage, no.
No.
Second eye roll. Ginger had a hair issue. Ginger's doing the music video, and all of a sudden one of her pieces starts flopping around. She, Ginger, takes it off and throws it. she did not, quote unquote, it did not fly away.
That's no.
She tells Candace. It flew away. The wind caught it and it flew away. And I was like, you lying sack of shit. I watched the video. You threw it. Yes, the wind from the fan took it away from you physically, but it did not snatch it from your head. I was so irritated with her because I love her, but I was like, really, girl? Seriously. And my third eye roll is to Violet for her earring issue because yet again, Candace says and Violet says that her earring fell off. Bitch, your earring did not fall off. You turned away from the camera. You forgot the choreography and or the words. You do what every drag queen does so no one can see your face. And what does your right hand do? It goes up here to your ear and then magically the earring is on the floor. And she says that her earring fell off. No, bitch, the earring did not fall off. You threw it off. There's a difference. I don't know what the three of you bitches were thinking that you could pull it over on Candace or the viewing audience and lie about what your stuff was. Well, two of them, Ginger and Violet, I thought were outright lies. Pearl, whatever. I was so irritated. Those were my eye rolls. I was like, all three of y'all fucked up the music video, your portions of it, as far as I'm concerned. I was so irritated. Anyways.
Go ahead. I'm just saying, it just... So I'm just going to go ahead and go straight to eye rolls first, just because that's where... Because I'm kind of in that same boat with you. Those little problems that potentially mean a lot. So I'm going to eye rolls first. So those little problems, like the hair, the earring... Kennedy kind of her acting not being that great, blah, blah, blah. Those are, to me, those are little problems, but they can sometimes mean a lot. I love that Candace said, I hope we got some footage. Because it's true. They can only do it for so long. They can only record for so long. There's only so much tape, you know, or digital, whatever, fuck it, you know. And I just sit there and I think to myself, yeah, like, those are things. Granted, Ginger took the moment and had a little fun with it. That's fine. Do that. But own your mistake. Own that you could have done something prior to this episode, prior to getting up on that stage with the fan and everything, that could have done something. You could have not had so many pieces in your head. You looked fine when you took that piece off. Didn't hurt me none. Looked good to me. Pearl could have done something different with her hair. If you're going to wear a lace front, make sure it's on there like tight as shit, like glue, like no, like everything. And if you're going to put all that heavy weight in the back, you know, own that you're going to have to, it's going to have to be pinned and it's going to have to stay for the amount of time that you're going to be doing this video. Like, you're going to, it's going to have to. And Violet, I don't even know what the fuck happened with Violet. I don't even know why she did it. I knew she turned, I remember her turning away from the camera because she didn't know what the fuck she was doing. But that was it. Like, were you trying to turn away from the camera and pretend like you missed the choreography because your earring was falling off? Is that what you're trying to pull out your ass? Because it didn't work. Because I saw right through you. Right through it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, it just, those little things sort of get around. And then my other eye roll is for Ginger saying, old school is the only school. And she said it in confessional in one of the earlier part of the episode. And I wrote it down, and I literally wrote, like, an eye roll next to it because I was kind of like, I'm getting tired of this conversation. Drag has been around for quite a while. Yes, there is an old school and everything. But there's also a class of these new up-and-coming girls. They're doing some really amazing things, you know, and we can go back as far as Sarah Needles, you know, go back to her and what she did and what she brought to drag and that totally different perspective of drag that none of us really think about. And going back to my personal feelings about drag and that if you're doing it and you're having fun with it and enjoying it, go for it. You know, maybe you may not get the audience, quote unquote, but as long as you're having fun with it, there are arenas out there for you. I love the court because they are some of the more open-minded systems in regards to drag. Ultimately, like, as long as you want to perform and raise the money for your the charities there, go for it. You can do whatever you want. Well, not whatever you want. Got to be, you know, slightly okay. But, you know, you can't be throwing poo on stage, you know. But, like, if you have a different aesthetic, don't be afraid to do it and own that you love it and go from there. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, it. So those are my eye rolls, like. Old school is not the only school.
I agree with you. I wasn't happy when Ginger said that, but I got why she said it. And remember, in Untucked, she kind of comes a little unglued, no pun intended, mm-hmm. when Violet says something about pageants being around since the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And Ginger just is like, hold the phone. And she says a confessional. How dare you be in a competition without knowing your herstory? Like, now, to be fair, I don't know the herstory of pageants, but apparently it started in 78. And I'm like, okay, so I learned something a little new. I did not know that part, but I would know to not say that pageants started in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think that's where she's coming from is, listen, you young piece of shit or whippersnapper, whatever you want to say. Do you know what I mean? I think that's where Ginger and Kennedy were really getting pissy at the end of this competition because they were like, you know, looking at the other two who were basically, you know, 6 and 7 years younger than Ginger, 10 and 11 years younger than Kennedy. And I think, you know, they were like, we've just had about enough of this out of you. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think they were getting highly defensive because they felt disrespected.
Yeah.
Because they were like, you have not been through the trenches. You do not know what it's like. And even Rue says to Violet in their lunch, she pinpoints the confidence issue. She says, where does this come from? Blah, 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 blah. And she said, you know, you're young, you're 22. And she's like, and while you have this confidence about you, you also seem to have this attitude, you know, like that this naturally happens. Listen, kid, no, it doesn't. This has not naturally happened for anybody. And I was so proud that Rue said that during that lunch because I think she was trying really hard to try to get through to Violet, like, your confidence is your gift. It is also your greatest detriment because you see no obstacles, and that's a problem because our community has faced nothing but obstacles to get to where we are today.
Yeah.
So
there's that. So my snaps are for three things. Well, technically three things. Kennedy and Violet's, or not Violet's, Kennedy and Ginger's runway looks were amazing, beautiful. Now, Kennedy's did not look so good in Untucked when she's rolling it up and taking off her whatnot, but like when she walked the runway, that pride dress floored me. I loved that dress. It is.
It was pageant realness. It was. I was like, and that is pageant. Like that's big old helm of hair and a big old dress. Like that. That's pageant.
Like stoned for days, and then. Ginger's dress with the white dress, which I love that she wears white. I hate wearing white, but it just works really well for her. I don't know why, it just does. And that white sort of frenzy thing?
I'm kind of torn about it. I was not blown away by her runway dress. I thought Kennedy's was much better.
Well, yes.
I just, knowing that she was a pageant queen, I was like, there's just something that was lacking about it. I couldn't figure out what it was. And I was humiliated for her hearing Carson and the judges make cracks about her outfit. And Carson was like, oh, this reminds me. I need to go get my car washed. And I was like, oh, God, girl. Like, you just, like. Oh, like, it's okay. Not that she did anything wrong. It's just, I don't know. That was like, damn, like, you know.
Yeah, it was a little harsh, but you know, I liked it. And then my other snap is for Pearl's honesty in Untucked. And her kind of owning it. I love that she kind of said, and granted, she kept saying it, but whatever, that they threw her under the bus. They threw him under the bus. She kept saying that. But she owned that the reason she was upset was because she was disappointed because of the fact that her and Ginger, and she's talking specifically to Ginger because they're outside smoking. Mm-hmm. She's like, her and Ginger have talked about the incident when Pearl may have left, was thinking about leaving the show. And they had these really in-depth conversations. And I felt disappointed that you brought that up and then went on to use it to bring yourself, elevate yourself up. And I love that she said, she called, she said, Kennedy and Ginger were mice caught in the trap of the competition. And she, she said it the way that she said it and the way she meant it was, I think anyway, was that she felt bad that they ultimately used the personal quote unquote attacks to raise themselves up in the competition.
I thought that comment from Pearl was so profound. It's such a distinct clarification, like clearing of the fog about her mind, and such a maturity level to be able to turn to another person and say, I feel bad for you because you are nothing more than a cog in the wheel of this machine and you don't know that. Like, you fell, she basically was saying, you fell prey to playing the game. I choose not to play the game their way. I play it my way. And I was like, whoa. Like, I was like, that's kind of crazy. And at the same time, I'm like, I feel bad that it took till the 12th fucking episode to find that out about you. Had you said that 4 episodes ago, I really would be far more in your camp by now. I would mm-hmm. definitively get where you're coming from. See, Sharon Needles, I think, much earlier in her season, basically was like, I'm doing my version of drag. I'm doing things my way. Like, she was very much like, I'm not playing the game the way everybody else thinks I should play the game, should blah, 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 because fuck that noise. If I'm going to win, I'm going to win my own way. And I think that's what Pearl is basically trying to say was, I'm disappointed in you and Kennedy that you decided to play the game the traditional way because you knew no different.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm disappointed is because I know different and I expect better from you. I think that was the underlying message.
Yeah, that's that.
So, all right, you ready for closing thoughts?
Yep.
I only have one thing to say, and it's a quote from Ginger. It was in her her response to RuPaul. It's the last thing that we saw that she said to the judging panel. And she said, and if we're going to supersize our French fries, why can't we at least supersize our next drag queen superstar?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, that's rehearsed. It's very it's rehearsed and it's very pageant, but accurate. Now, whether or not that's gonna win her the crown, I don't know. But she is the first I think she's the first in 7 seasons to be a big girl that made it to the top 3.
Yeah.
Now, some people might debate that Roxy Andrews was a bigger girl, but I would say Roxy was thick, not a bigger girl.
Thick and juicy. Thick and juicy.
Yeah. So she made it one level further than Darian did.
Yeah.
Because Darian was in 4th. And then, so she's made it to the top 3. I also feel for her because she is now bookended by the other 2 girls.
Yeah.
So if there's anything to be said about strength in numbers, I'm like, well, girl, you're on your own. Like, you really are on your own now because your best compatriot left the show, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe.
Yeah. Well, you have a point. Like, but I think maybe the reason it was edited that way is because they ran out of time.
But
in order to get everything else in, they had to, you know, cut something out. So I don't know.
But did we get Kennedy's? We did not get Kennedy's message on the board. We did not get Kennedy's, like final, you know, thoughts, you know, leaving the show. Or did we? I can't remember.
No, we didn't. We didn't get any of that.
So it's just, but and I know we didn't get the untucked part, but.
But did we get any of that last year with Darian?
I thought we did.
I don't know.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, if she's gone, she's gone. No big deal. But if she's not, girl. That might be something. That would be a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my closing thoughts. Okay. Who do I want to win and who do I think will win? I just own it. Are they the same person? Kind of. I feel that Ginger has it in her to win, and I would love for her to win. I would love for her to be one of the biggest girls to win the contest. To represent us, you know, bigger bears type men. If she had any competition, I'm kind of torn between Violet and Pearl. Now, Kennedy had been there, I would have been like, hands down, that competition for Ginger and Kennedy to win. It just, now that it's those two and Ginger, if I had to own one of them winning, it would be Violet, based solely on the numbers. I don't think Violet has the experience and the maturity to do it. And Pearl and her are neck and neck to me, mostly because whereas Violet has the numbers, Pearl has the charm and the maturity that, and she has this different attitude and behavior and mentality about this whole thing that is refreshing. You know, this very laid back attitude about things sort of is good to have. Like, I will be honest. I love that her laid back attitude. I feel that she is happy she got where she was. And if she wins, great. You know, put the crown on her head, give me the money. I'll tour the country, whatever. I'll, you know, have it in series and enjoy the experience. But if she lost, I have a feeling she would be okay with it too. Because that's just the mentality I see in her. Mm-hmm. That she would just be like, okay, you know, I did my best. I did my thing. I stayed true to myself. And maybe I wasn't the winner, but look how far I got compared to all the other girls. I think she would really love that part and really own that. So yeah, that's sort of where I'm at on this. I'm in that. Yeah, I would love it if Ginger won. It would be great if Ginger won. That's who I would want to win. But there's that possibility. Like you said, it's 2-1. You know, you got two very young, artistic, different types of drag. And then you have Ginger, who's very traditional-ish kind of drag, but also has the acting chops, has the singing chops, has the performing chops to kind of take it to that level. Kind of on par with Bianca, but in her own different way. So we shall see.
Yeah, when it comes to who I think will win, who I want to win, I said from the very first episode that I was pretty much in Ginger's house. I still am. I'm very proud of the Glamour Toad making it to top three. I'm about to go to Orlando for Memorial Day weekend, knowing that the finale is put off for a week. There's a high probability I might get to see Ginger perform when I'm in Orlando.
Ah.
At least that's kind of it's a little goal. It's a mini goal. So we'll see if that happens. Looking at the grid, it's very interesting to me. Both Ginger and Violet have won 3 times. Both Ginger and Pearl have been in the bottom twice.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger has been high twice, Violet once, Pearl none.
Uh-huh.
Violet and Pearl have been, Violet was low twice, Pearl was low once, Ginger never was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a mixed bag. Violet seems to be the preference because she's never been in the bottom. But I'm not really sure. So going outside of the grid, if you look at the 4 key areas that Rue used to put a lot of focus on, but for some reason this season it wasn't discussed a lot. If you talk about charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent, I think Ginger has 3 of 4. I think she has charisma. I think she has nerve. I think she has talent. I think uniqueness is there, but it's not as much as the others. I think Pearl has uniqueness down. I think she has some talent. It's the charisma that's okay, and the nerve is the one that's the big question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Where Violet, on the other hand, has all the nerve.
Yeah.
Some of the talent, some uniqueness, and it's the charisma that is the question mark.
Mm.
So if I focus on those 4, Ginger comes out ahead. She strongly has 3 out of 4, hands down. And the other 2 have 2 out of 4. Do okay in 1 and not so okay in 1. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No. I get exactly what you mean.
That's kind of where I'm at. Is I'm really kind of torn about it. Will I be okay with any of them winning? I have to be because Rue's going to make a decision whether I like it or not. But the truth is, will I be okay with any of them winning that over the next year they'll carry on the name and so on and so forth? Yeah. Do I expect profound things out of them? Not so much. Hmm. Something interesting occurred to me when you were just talking a moment ago, Damon. I think Ginger, in a certain viewpoint, I'm not saying this is accurate, but if you looked at it a certain way, Ginger is kind of like Bianca and shit, her name just went out of my head. Jinx Monsoon.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ginger is like the two of them mixed together.
Hmm.
Because what Jinx did not bring to the table was that cutty comeback comedy. But Ginger has it. Ginger also has the musical theater background and the theatricality and so on and so forth. Ginger also would be the first queen ever that was a pageant queen that got the crown in the end.
Yeah.
Which would be different because, well, no, that's not completely true. Did Bibi Zahara come from pageant?
I don't know. And she probably did. If you look at her,
yeah,
I would think she did. I know she was a model.
Yeah, she looks like she comes from pageant. I'm trying to think of the other winners. Tyra Sanchez at times looked like she came from pageant, but I don't think she came from pageant background. Because I think a lot of people equate glamour as pageant, which is understandable, yes, but not necessarily accurate.
Not always true.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it's Pearl that wins, then Pearl will bring a very interesting, subdued aesthetic. Violet, on the other hand, will be absolutely fierce and will stomp the shit out of every runway she works it.
Yeah.
She has a clear concept and vision. I think her and Ginger are in the most in the headspace about what they're going to do if they win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
We'll see.
The plan is a week from now, the Born Naked music video is released.
Mm-hmm. Next week's episode, I believe, if I'm looking at the, what's it called? The grid correctly, not the grid. The one correctly is that there's going to be their classic, you know, let's bring everybody down, countdown to the crown. We're going to do all the whole, you know, look back at the show, blah, 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 blah. And then you're going to have a grand finale the following week. So there's that.
Yeah.
We shall see what happens. I will own that I kind of feel, I feel the same way you do. Kind of like, I could be particularly okay with who wins, because obviously I have to be, but I could see them each taking it differently. Mm-hmm. I could honestly see them taking it differently. I could see Ginger taking the crown, using it to do like what Jinx did and do like a show, like a one-woman show or maybe a cabaret kind of thing or something along those lines, where she can kind of present her comedy and kooky side as well as the glamour that she has. I would be okay with that. I could see Pearl. Pearl's the one I'm kind of having an odd feel for things. I could potentially see her taking the crown and using it as a platform to kind of talk about the things that potentially happened to her in the past, and get those feelings out to light and making it, you know, sort of a learn and making an awareness of the things. I could also see her doing her own sort of thing with it. What, I don't know. That's the thing. I don't really know what else she would do with it. And I agree with you that Violet would ultimately take it and run the world and stomp runways and do whatever she needs to fucking do. So,
All right. So we do have a bonus this week.
More bonus.
I believe today or yesterday, in conjunction with the 12th episode, RuPaul released a new music video.
Ooh.
But it's not the music video that the queens were working on. That is Born Naked. That comes out next Monday as the in-between to the finale. This happens to be another song from the Born Naked album called Modern Love. And I had told Damon before we recorded, it is my favorite track on the entire album. I really enjoy it. I really like this music video. I like that it's this kind of very personal introspective style. It's all shot in black and white. And of course, Rue looks fucking amazing. And brings back the Bob Mackie angel outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Love that outfit. Like probably one of the best outfits I think Rue has ever had. And
beautiful.
Yeah.
I had a feeling I'd seen it before, but still every time like she pulled those wings up and whoop, and I was just like, Go ahead.
Yeah, she I'm trying to remember when and wore she and when and she wore it, because it was at an awards show, I want to say.
Yeah.
Let me hear. Yeah, she it's to me it's a really great outfit, a great look that I'm a huge fan of. And I just really like that the way it comes out. And in addition to that, I like that song, as I was telling you, Damon. I like the fact that there's a spoken word segment that comes towards the end. And Rue basically says, you know, there was a time in my life that I struggled because I wanted to, you know, I was seeking myself and others. So I was chasing someone else who was chasing someone else. Like basically losing myself in the idea of another person when in fact that other person wasn't even paying attention to me. Like, you know, was interested in another individual. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And I've always liked that. Like, it's just something about that song that I'm like, wow, that's really profound. You know, that you would know yourself so well to stand outside kind of your own image or your own individuality and be like, oh, this is like, look at the silliness of how I'm behaving or what I'm doing. I mean, I don't, you know, not everyone necessarily, I think, has that skill or that talent to be able to kind of like recognize themselves for who they are. But you do the best you can with it. So I highly suggest everyone go check out the video.
Oh, it is a really pretty video. I the dress was the gown or the outfit that she wears is beautiful. The video in and of itself is very stunning. And the song is nice. I would like to hear more of the album, and I probably will hear in the future, but I do like the song, so we'll see. Yeah, I'll have to listen to the rest of it and figure out if it's one of my faves.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's one of those, as soon as I saw it, I was like, I remember that outfit. That outfit's fucking gorgeous.
Ah, and there you go.
Yeah, it's and it's funny, and I'm also proud of the fact that she, you know, the one other thing that I took away from it, Damon, honestly, was, wow, this girl worked so hard to keep the same body all these years.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? To just be able to pull on an old outfit and you know.
Yeah.
Be able to wear it. I'm like, that's not something everybody can do.
No.
You know, whether they be a drag queen or not, I'm like, yeah, there's a, it's not always possible to be able to take an outfit that's, you know,
easy.
10 years older or older, you know.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. All righty. Well, is that everything?
I think that's it. I think we're done with the show for this week.
Yeah.
Huh. So, of course, you can always find out more about us. Check us out online. We have a website, cubsoutloud.com. You can send us an email to cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Also, we have a Facebook account. If you're not aware, you can go to facebook.com/cubsoutloud. And we do have a Twitter account that alerts you to activities, especially the shows when we post them, which is twitter.com/cubsoutloud. And if you're interested, not that it relates so much to the Drag Race shows, but we do have a Tumblr account, which you can find online at cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. And on Google Plus, you can find us at google.com/plus cubsoutloud, all one word. And you can go to Bear Underground, the official website of Cubs Out Loud, and join the COL group and let us know what you think about the show. And, of course, you can go to iTunes, rate us on there. The more, you know, better ratings we get on there, we become more available to other individuals looking for a podcast in the Bear community. On Stitcher Radio, you can give us a thumbs up. And pretty much anywhere on the web, I can be found under the name GearBear73. That's G-A-R-B-E-A-R 73.
And I am TheaterCup79 on Bear 401, Bear Underground, Tumblr, HeftyNet. And I think that's it. But if you find me somewhere else, let me know, because it's probably an abandoned profile.
All right. With that said, everybody have a good one. And the next time we talk, it will be the finale.
Woohoo.
And there will be crowned a winner.
A winner.
Drag Race, Monday nights on Logo. See you next Tuesday.